I want to welcome you all out this morning. So glad you came in the house of the Lord to worship with your Father. Father, we just humbly come before you right now. We thank you. We thank you for coming into our presence. We thank you for ministering to us. We thank you for your angelic host, Father God, that's here this morning, ministering to your people, meeting every need. Father God, let your healing powers flow through here this day. Heal your people. Set the captives free. Release the hearts. Let us grow in you. And Father, we thank you for it. Whatever they came for, Father, meet that need. They came to sit at your table, to eat your fresh manna, drink from your river of life. And Father, honor them for that. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as I was sitting there, God said to tell you people that the body of Christ is in a very perilous time. For the enemy is after God's people with everything he has. And we're just going to have to be so aware of everything that's going on around about us at all time. We can never for one instant let down our guard right now. Try that scripture, Sister Nancy. This is scripture God gave me as I was sitting in Revelation 12:12. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them, but woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. God gave me that scripture 2 years ago for the body of Christ. The enemy's here. He's here in full force. And when I was sitting there, God said, this is a time where the great falling away is going to start occurring. And I can with surety say that most of you in here are under severe attack right now. That the enemy is after you with everything that he has. And about the time you think he's emptied out all hell, then here he comes in another bucket full. It just keeps throwing one thing after another at you. You've got to be firm this morning. You have to determine your heart. I'm going to make this race. No devil in hell is going to take me out. You know, I just have to weep when I look at the body of Christ to see how many are falling away. And how we're letting go of our standard, our high standard we used to have. We're dropping the bar on that, and God never meant that to happen. You know, it's just like Halloween just passed, and you know, I was reading an article about it where, you know, a mega church, the pastors dressed up as in costumes. Then I read about another mega church. They were having some sort of a zombie march or something in their church. And then I read another article where it said that the Christians who used to know that they shouldn't celebrate Halloween are now thinking, what's wrong with doing that? Do you see how the enemy has come in to deceive? How he's come in and to strip us of all of our things that we know are true? You know, God gave me last night the word for yesterday, and it more or less it lined up with Galatians chapter 3 verse 1. It says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? You know, they were following God with all their heart, and all of a sudden what they thought they knew, they didn't know, you know. And don't none of you be like that. Keep your standard high. Follow what God's been telling you to do all your life, because he hasn't changed his word, not one bit. His word is still the same. It's still pure. It's still true. And when you're in a battle, fight. 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 Don't give up. Just fight. Just keep fighting. And get somebody on your team with you. You get somebody who will pray with you. Get somebody who will... If you don't understand what you're going through, they're not going to understand what you're going through, but we do know it's the enemy. We know that God isn't causing you to do this. So don't give up, and don't think, well, I don't want anybody to know that I'm having a problem. Brother Chris stood up here with his testimony. I'm going through deliverance. And I know that God's able to set you free. Hey, you know, if you don't want to reach out for help, then that's pride. And you're already messed up. You're already on your way down. Let's say pride goeth before a fall. I'm sinking. And we're when we're in trouble, we call somebody and say, I'm sinking and I need somebody to undergird me. There's nothing wrong with that. Where the wrong comes in is if you don't do that. Amen. You know, I just sat down with my family the other day and I said, this is what I'm going through right now. And they said, we knew you were going through something, but we didn't know what. And I said, I'm going to make this no matter what goes on. I don't care what it takes. I'm going to make it. You know, the devil will, you wonder, how could the devil possibly, what could he possibly do to me that he hasn't already done, but he finds something else to do? Are you listening here, guys? The church is under severe attack right now. And if we don't reach out and we don't embrace one another, the church is going to go down. And we can't allow that. We cannot allow that. I don't care where you go to church. I don't care what you do. You know, when you see a brother or sister struggling, embrace them. Pray for them. You know, call upon the angelic host to come and undergird them and fight their battles for them. Because we are in a warfare, a terrible warfare right now. I was spent all day yesterday in my study praying and studying, and I felt in my spirit last night as I about 2 o'clock in the morning, I felt in my spirit that God's making a shift in the way we teach. He's going to start changing the way the messages come forth. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I do know because they just cannot be like they used to be. So I don't know which way God's going to go, but you guys, go with the flow of God. If he's all of a sudden saying, you know, like on a railroad track, they switch that little thing and you go down a different track, then go with God. Do what God is telling you to do. I don't care how long we've done it this way. God's now saying we're going to do it this way. So be prepared for God to take you down a different road. I didn't say quit the church. Just like with me, I just know that I can't preach. He's going to start changing the way I preach. So I don't know what he's going to do with you, but let him go ahead and do it. Let God have full control of your life. No, you're not going to understand, but that's all right. It's walk by faith, right? It's walk by faith and not by sight. It's not what you're familiar with. This is a problem. See, we want to stay with what we're familiar with, but it's not what you're familiar with anymore. It's the unfamiliar thing that God's going to take you into. It's that unfamiliar thing that's going to start causing a great effect and a ripple effect in the house of God. It's you know, it's this unfamiliar thing that's going to change the house of God to be what God wants to be, and God wants it to be a holy house of God. All right? So what he wants me to teach this morning is whom the Son sets free. So the Word of God tells us in John 8:36, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Yeah, I want to stop there. There are so many people out there in the world today that believe once you gave your heart to God, you're totally, completely free. I mean, I'm sorry. You're totally, completely going to go to heaven. You know, they just think there's nothing in the world that could possibly cause you not to go to heaven. That's not true. Once saved, always saved is not true. You know, and God told me one time many years ago, daughter, at any given second, you could lose your salvation. I said, I want you each to think that. You have to work out your salvation daily. Sometimes every second, you know, if you're going through a trial or tribulation, sometimes it's working it out every second of every day, every breath. You have to be watchful what you're saying, what you're thinking, what you're doing, and probably constantly repenting. You know, because of the thoughts that go through your head, and sometimes the things that come out of your mouth when the devil's doing a tap dance on top of your head, and you don't have anybody to undergird you, and you're fighting with everything you fight can fight have you know anything everything you have to fight with, and he's wearing you out. Are you listening here this morning? This is very imperative. I just feel an urgency in the air. It's very imperative that we grasp hold of the fact that the enemy's trying to take us out. If you read the word, if you read the words are going in the media and this and the other, the mega churches are being fought super hard. Individuals, anybody that has an influence in the body of Christ is being fought super hard. If you're not being fought super hard, thank God for it. Just thank God for it. Because I'm telling you, with myself, I'm going through things that I never thought I'd ever go through in my life. The battles are fierce. And sometimes I think I'm going to lose my salvation. But I keep crying out to God and crying out to God and keep hanging on to his promises, you know, and he eventually brings me through. And I call out and say, help, I'm drowning, you know. And there's nothing wrong with that. Do you ever stop and think about how hard you're really being tested and tried right now? How hard you're really being tested and tried right now? And God's allowing this testing and this trying time to equip you to be the soldier that he wants you to be in the days ahead. The days that are coming upon us are going to be wonderful, glorious days. They really are. Even though the darkness is going to be there, I'm not upset about that because I know we're going to be having a good time in the Lord. And I know we're going to be winning soul after soul after soul after soul. And I'm not worried about the darkness. Right now, I'm struggling to keep my own salvation because the enemy knows what God's getting ready to do. And so he's just attacked the body of Christ. And I said this morning, God wept. He said, they don't understand how imperative it is that they get a hold of who they are and start fighting the enemy. There is absolutely no question about that verse that we just read, that therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. God does not want us in bondage to anything. The devil would like nothing better than to rule the whole world, oppressing and afflicting mankind until he destroys them and everything else on earth. We all know that. We all know that he is a thief, murderer, and destroyer, and all rolled up in one. There's nothing good about him. John 10:10 says the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. That's what the thief comes to do, to kill, to steal and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. He is actually the driving force behind every manner of oppression the enemy is, whether it be political, economical, or social, or physical. You know, Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. In the days, you know, it's dark right now, but in the days it gets darker and darker, we can have that. We will have that life more abundantly. We will have that life. I'm not hyping you up because I just know that I know that I know we're going to be rejoicing and we're just going to be just praising the Lord. We're going to be full of peace and harmony because we need to be those type of vessels to carry it to a lost and dying world. The world is the ones that are going to be lost. The world is the ones going to be depressed and oppressed. And they need to have a place of safe refuge. And we are it. You know, each one of us individually, we are it. Because each one of us will be different places at different times. And we'll run into different people. You know, God will put different people in our path. And it's our peace that we have that we're going to, that will vibrate out onto everybody else that we meet. Are you understanding this? So don't be concerned about what's going to be happening, what isn't going to be happening. God said, don't even think about that. Just know who you are in Christ Jesus. Know that you are a true child of God and know that every fiber of your being is soaked and saturated with his presence and his spirit. And just go out there and just have yourself a really good time. You know, I got a call last night and this person said, you prayed for me 3 months ago. And when God prophesied to me, he said, I was going to be full of joy. And I was just going to be so happy no matter what was going on. And they said, you know what? From that day forward, I have been full of joy. A lot of things have been going on in their life. But they said, it doesn't bother me. I just laugh. I'm living life. And God said, you're going to live life for the first time. You're really going to live life. And she said, for the first time in my life, I'm really living life. And so she was so upbeat that I just couldn't hardly stand it, you know. And so, see, this is the way it is. I mean, she's in a dark spot, but she doesn't care. Because she knows who she is in Christ. And God gave her a promise. And she's actually living out that promise. And she's going to continue to live it out. How about us? What has God promised you? Are you going to live it out? Or are you going to let the devil steal, kill, and destroy? Let's make sure we understand this. God is not in the oppression business. He is in the freedom business. Some would have us believe that we can confess our sins to God and go our merry ways with no further action on our part and be granted a get-out-of-hell-free ticket. No matter what we do for the rest of our lives, but is that the whole story? You know, we don't get a free ticket nowhere, guys, not even to heaven. You are not assured of your salvation until you stand before the Father. Because you never know when the enemy is going to come and trip you up. I'll never do that. Well, don't ever say you'll never do that, because that's exactly the same thing you're going to do. Amen. Let's have a closer look, as it is written in John 8:31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, see, these Jews believed him. And so this is what he said to them. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. You have to be abiding in Christ to be free indeed. Somebody had made a statement, I'm a child of God, therefore I'm healed. And God spoke to me and said, did you understand what they just said? They said, I'm a child of God, therefore I'm healed. And he said, a lot of people in the body of Christ are making that statement, and they're not my child, therefore they're not healed. Are you listening? If you're sitting in the house of God and professing that you're a child of God, then you can reap all the benefits of the Bible. But if you're sitting in the house of God and you're not, and you're confessing to be a child of God, but you're not a child of God, in other words, you're living for the world, then you can confess all you want. It's not going to happen. That totally blew my mind when God told me that. But isn't that the truth? So he said in verse 34, Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. God wants us free. So what is to stop us from being free? Isn't God the supreme being of the universe, omnipresent, all-powerful, and almighty? Yes, but there's something we may be overlooking here. God has also granted us free will as a part of our creation, which means we can choose to be free or not. Here's where things start getting complicated. Everyone wants to be free, right? Perhaps not. We no longer live in an ideal world where there are so many choices out there to make. We no longer live in an ideal world, and there are so many choices out there to make. Right? Life would be so simple if we simply chose to worship God and obey Him. And for those who do live, life is better. However, we are not immune to the effects of the evil around us. If you listen to Joel Osteen this morning, he described that very well. Everywhere we look, there is waste, ruin, and destruction going on around us due to sin abounding in the earth, right? You guys are all as old as I am. You can remember back to the happy days, right? When all this sin wasn't abounding, where everything was, you know, it was an ideal world to live in. It's not that way anymore. That's why we look to God to walk us through the obstacle course of this life. And how many of you know that every day your path is an obstacle course? Because the enemy, he just doesn't care. And he has so many, that he's so relentless that he just does not give up. He's constantly on your heels. Not everything in this life is good and pleasant. Thanks to the workers of evil around us. How many of you sometimes you get up and you say, "Dear Lord, let me go back to bed," because your feet slip out onto the floor and all hell's already broke loose even before both feet get on the floor, right? Not everything in this life is good and pleasant, thanks to the workers of evil around us. But by making the choice to continue to follow God, willingly obeying Him from the heart, we become disciples of Christ Jesus. But by making the choice, life is all choices, to continue to follow God willingly, obeying Him from the heart, we become disciples of Christ Jesus. Notice I said continue because our freedom of choice allows us to continue or quit anytime we choose. We can choose whether to let sin ruin our life or not. We can choose whether to do things God's way or not. All about choices. Only by choosing to continue to submit ourselves to the will of God are we set free from the sins of the world. Only by choosing to continue to submit ourselves to the will of God are we set free from the sins of the world. The key here is continue. Walking with the Lord Jesus today does not guarantee you will choose to walk with Him tomorrow. Sometimes the desire to have things our way is just too strong. Let's read that again. Walking with the Lord Jesus today does not guarantee you will choose to walk with Him tomorrow. Sometimes the desire to have things our way is just too strong. Knowing the truth alone does not set you free. A person in a burning house knows that if they want to live, the truth is they must get out. Yet they can choose to stay and try to save their belongings, which a lot of people do, thereby perishing in the flames. Will God let someone die in a burning house? Yes, if that's their choice. I've often seen God set smokers free from their nicotine. Don't get under condemnation, please, because this is what I've seen all these years. I've often seen God set smokers free from their nicotine addiction because they truly wanted to quit, but couldn't do it on their own. But I've also seen people whom God has set free start smoking again and become entangled once again, worse than they were before. He will not violate your choice. You hear that? Even though it might be in your best interest to do so many times. One time God called me to fast and I didn't fast. And then I said, God, I just can't fast. He made a way and I fasted. But then I only fasted so long, and then I went back to eating and broke the fast, and it was my choice. Then I was in a mess. You see, gluttony is just as bad as smoking or drinking or anything else. But I mean, I wasn't a glutton, but yet I stopped the fast. That was my choice. I didn't have to do that. I could have went against my brain's thought waves and said, nope. Still have to fast. But see, it was my choice. God didn't make me do that. The devil didn't make me do that. I did that. See, the trouble is we blame everything on the devil, don't we? And because we don't want to take no blame for what we've done. We make the choice. Amen? Nobody got a food on a fork and forced it down my throat. Come on. You know, we had my dog operated on and, you know, they put one of them cone things around its head, and he was having a hard time eating and drinking, so I spoon-fed him. And then he was really thirsty, and every time he went to drink, he'd spill the water. And we tried all different kind of bowls, we still spill the water. And so I got a bottle of water, you know, like we buy at the store and drink out of. And I said, come here, baby, and I tried to get him to drink that water. No way would he drink that water. That was his choice to go thirsty. I said, come on, you can do this. But nope, he wouldn't have nothing to do with me putting that water in his mouth. So, but it was his choice. I said, okay. All right, I've tried to help you. I can't help you. See, it's just like us. We have a choice. You know, I could have somebody hold him, force the water down him, but I didn't want to do that. And God's not going to force us to do anything. And He's not going to force us to do anything. All right, so I said, knowing the truth alone does not set you free. I read that, didn't I? Okay. How do you stay free once the Lord makes you free? By not returning to that thing which had entangled you in the first place. Come on. Well, how do I stay free? Well, God made a way of escape, but by not returning to that thing which had entangled you in the first place. Now, if you was with a boyfriend and he bopped you around all the time, then you got a, God made a way for you to be set free, or somebody made a way for you to be set free, why would you go back to him again? So if you got tangled up with him again, it was your choice to go back to him again. Or her, whatever. You see? There is an account in the Bible of a man whom Jesus healed. Let's read about it in John 5:2. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus just saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." And Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." Will you turn that fan on back there, Chris? And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. The Jews, now keep listening or keep reading. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, "It is a Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed." He answered them, "He who made me well said to me, take up your bed and walk." Then they asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk?" But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found this man in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." See, God made him, Jesus healed him, but he told him, you could get into sin, and something worse than what you were healed from could happen to you. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who made him well. For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. So Jesus warned the man who was healed to go sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon him. So how many of you know if you have an addiction and you go and Jesus heals you the addiction, you go back to the addiction, it's worse than the first time you got there. Or if there's anybody in here who does drugs or did drugs, you know that if you quit drugs and then after fashion you go back to them, it's really harder to get out of that drug than it was the first time. I was talking to somebody who said that they were in drugs really strong for quite some time, and they said when you get off of drugs, I didn't know this, but they say you actually dream about them. You know, you dream that you're taking them and everything. And they said that God so completely and totally cleaned them up that they don't even have dreams about them anymore. I mean, that's being set free. Amen. And they said, there's no way in this world I'd ever even think about going back to it again. But see, they learned their lesson, but a lot of people don't learn their lesson, do they? They just think, oh, well, God will heal me again. Will he? Yes, he will. But you know what? He'll take his good time at doing it. That's what you have to think about. Yes, he will. But he's going to take his good time at doing it. So, I would suggest to all of us that when he heals us of anything, don't go back and do it. Amen? It's going to be a worse thing than the first time was. John 8:1 says, "But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, 'Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what do you say?' This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" She said, No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." See, Jesus kept her free, but then he said, "Go and sin no more." And you know my theory about David. I love him because he only did one sin one time. He never repeated that sin. When he told God he was sorry for it, he was sorry for it. He never went back into it again. He follows that "go and sin no more" rule. I think the whole body of Christ needs to get that rule. Go and sin no more. Amen. There are people who have lived their lives in fear, worry, and panic attacks, and the Lord Jesus has made them free from fear and worry. So why are they doing that? I was surprised at how many people take medicine for panic attacks. There's just one medicine that I know of that would heal, and that's Jesus. Will the devil attack and try to put fear upon them again? Absolutely. He kills, steals, and destroys. I mean, I've been around people that they've had to rush their people to the hospital or they were going to die before they got there because they'd had a panic attack. Where's your faith in God? Why are you letting the enemy get you so worried and so worked up that you go into a panic attack? Come on. You know, I used to have fear of heights. But one day I said, "I'm not doing this anymore. I'm going to overcome this thing." I climb a ladder to help on the roof. Then I had to sit there 15, 20 minutes to get back down again to get enough courage to get on that first step. And my daughter would send her, "Come on, Mom, you can do it. Come on, Mom." She said, "You crawl over the roof. Why can't you step down that ladder?" And I was just afraid. And she said, one day it was getting dark. She said, "Mom, you got to get down off the ladder. Off the roof." She said, "You have to get off the roof. Put your foot out on the ladder. I'm holding the ladder." And finally she said, "I'm leaving. I'm going in the house. I'm going to make me a cup of coffee. You get down off that ladder." And so I'm sitting there on the edge of the roof saying, "I'm going to get down off this ladder and I'm never going to be afraid of heights again." And I just determined I was going to lick this thing of fear of being up on someplace and couldn't get down. And I turned around, put my foot on that ladder and came right on down. I go up and down the ladder, do anything. I'm not afraid of that. But I had to make the choice. I am going to lick this thing. I'm going to put my foot in that ladder. I'm not going to have somebody hold my hand, hold my feet, holding the ladder, encouraging me to come down. I had to do that thing. Are you seeing this? So it doesn't bother me no more. You have to do it yourself. You have to make the choice. You make choices every day. Quit allowing other people to make choices for you. It's your life. You have to make the choices. And when you make the choices, they'll stick. Amen? You cannot have somebody with you 24/7. I'm sorry, you just can't. So you're going to have to learn to take care of yourself. You're going to have to learn to make the right choices. You're going to have to learn that there's only one true way to live, and that's through Jesus Christ. Once the Lord Jesus makes us free, we have to choose to resist the devil and stay free. And don't think for a minute that you will not have to make a stand for your freedom. You know, like just like the devil comes to you, "You don't love your wife. She's fat and ugly and her hair is too short, her hair is too long, her teeth are too, she don't have no teeth, she has too many teeth," or whatever he tells her, you know. Now, you can either believe the devil that she's too old, you know, too many wrinkles. I've read three different people who their husbands left them because they have too many wrinkles. Get out of here. If I was that person, those people, I'd be glad they did because they didn't love me anyhow. One day they're going to have a wrinkle, more than one wrinkle. Amen. Come on. What did you marry, the wrinkle or the person? I've lost trend of what I was going to say there. All right. Oh, okay. Well, I was talking about your wife. What do you think this little cute little thing sitting over here is going to look like one day? You know, Gary Whetstone, one time I was there when he first opened up, you know, because we sort of got started at the same time. And he said to the men out there, he said, you're always, you know, him and his wife had a little bit, you know, they went anyhow. But this is before he was a pastor or anything. And he said, if you want to know what your wife's going to look like when she gets older, look at her mother. He said, so if you don't like what her mother looks like now, then go walk away from her right now, because one day that's what you're going to be married to, is just like her mother. And that's true. Have you ladies ever noticed you look like your mother when you get older? Look like her, act like her, right? Yeah. And you men, if her mother's mouthy, you better watch out, because one day your wife's going to be mouthy, not unless God really gets a good hold out of her. Isn't that right? Okay, so then women, if you look at men, if you want to know what the man's going to be like, look at the father. Because the men are going to be just like the father too, right? Not unless they get God as their image, and they become a man of God. And not all men and not all women become like their parents now. So, but they will look like them. They do look like them. I've watched over the years since he said that, and I said, you know, he's right. I never paid attention to that before. But they don't have to act like them. Well, one day I did something not too long ago, and the Lord said to me, daughter, after all, you are your mother's daughter. I got a little bit spicy. I got upset about something. And she was very quiet and very humble and meek, but don't ruffle her feather a certain way, or you would have something in your hands. Amen. And that's what happened to me. Somebody ruffled my feathers wrong, and for the first time I acted like her. Come on. Once the Lord, I know I said this, I'm going to say it again. Once the Lord Jesus makes us free, we have to choose to resist the devil and stay free. Okay, talking about parents, there are certain things my mother did that I always said I would never do. And sometimes, every now and then, that thing in me wants to write, nope, I'm not going to do that. I saw the damage that does to people. I refuse to do this. I'm choosing not to be like my mother. My mother was a wonderful person. She's passed away. But there's certain, we all have certain things that are not good. And so when I see that rising up within me, I said, nope, I'm not going there with that. See, I have to choose to do that. And I said, well, it's in my genes, so I just have to act it out. No, I don't. All right? I heard a doctor say, well, you know, it's comes down the DNA line. I thought, get out of here. You know, you don't have to accept it because it comes down your DNA line. We are individuals. And I don't want to be a clone of my mother. You don't want to be a clone of your father. You're an individual. Yes, they had you. Yes. But you're you. You're not them. Amen? Come on. So once the Lord Jesus makes us free, we have to choose to resist the devil and stay free. And don't think for a minute that you will not have to make a stand for your freedom. God's will is for us to overcome. And you don't overcome by letting the devil suck you back into the captivity from whence you've come. You just don't. You know you're being sucked in. Yeah, you know, I said, well, what I've been going through is my love walk. You know, I've never had trouble loving anybody. And all of a sudden, I'm just having trouble loving anything. You know, and I'm fighting this thing tooth and nail. I have to fight every day, fight to keep my love, any type of love. Not agape love or not love and unconditional, just love, period. And I don't know why God's had me go through this, but I mean, and he has to allow it, right? Because I'm going through it. And I say, God, please, you've got to help me here. You've got to help me. Because I have no compassion at times. I have no compassion for nothing or anybody. My love is just not working. And I'm being open with you and honestly. And I fight. Now, I could just give into that, you know. After all, I have a right. Look what people do to me. You know, and a lot of people go down that road. No, you don't have no right. You're either a child of God or you're not. If you're a child of God, then you're a love vessel. And yes, if you're a child of God, your love is going to be attacked. I found that out. Yes, your love is going to be attacked. And you're going to have to work really, really hard. And then if you let the enemy work on that, after a bit, you look at yourself, you don't even like yourself. You know? You don't like what you're becoming. You don't like what you're saying or doing. So you see what the enemy's doing? He's trying to just totally and completely destroy you. And see, what came to me years ago, somebody said to me, the devil said to me, I can't destroy you like I do other people, but I will find some way to destroy you. And I was walking down my stair steps, and that came to me, and I said, devil, this is what you're doing. You finally found a way to attack me. And he attacked me severely in that area of my life. The only way he could really get at me, and it was through a loved one that he started it. And it was the last straw, sort of to say. But, you know, I'm a fighter and I'm going to fight. I'm not giving in to the wiles of the enemy. He's not taking me out. God's made a way of escape. My way is praying and praying and praying and praying and binding him and saying, you're not getting an inroad in my life. You might have one, but you're not going to stay there. You have to leave in Jesus' name. He's not going to let any of you sitting here this morning sail through this walk with God. He is not. He's going to fight you tooth and nail. You know, gives me these men, I'm macho, look at me. Well, yeah, big whoop. You let the devil use you day in and day out. You don't fight him. If you're so macho, why do you not fight the devil? Come on, you fight your kids, you fight your wife, you fight your friends, but you don't fight the devil. You're not macho nothing. You're a puppet of the enemy. You need to cut those strings. And you need to take back. It's your choice. Take back your life. Take back your life. The other day, when I was going through this thing really seriously the other day, and Larry said to somebody, my mom doesn't like you right now. I said, I don't like nobody right now. Or nothing. You know, it wasn't geared at one person. I just didn't like anything. And I had to sit down and talk to my family. I'm sorry. I was crying. I'm sorry. I'm going through this horrible, horrible, dark hole. And I'm trying to work my way out of it. So you're going to have to be open and honest and get out there. Because as long as you stay in that dark hole and pretend like nothing's going on. Pretend like you're God's child and I can work through. You can work through anything. But sometimes we need to let the devil know, I'm going to tell everybody I see what you're trying to do with me. And then you don't have a hold on me. And that thing started breaking when I sat down and talked to my family. They said, we've been wondering what's going on with you. Come on. Or don't you think people are looking at you and wondering what's going on with you because they know that something's not right? Come on. Everybody sees it. Some people don't see it themselves, but I see it myself. But some people say, everybody sees it except you. Amen. I knew everybody knew I was going through something wrong because I wasn't even my own self. How many of you know that sometimes the enemy attacks you and you are not yourself? You're this thing that he's conjured up. And you think, my God, where did this ever come from? It came right out of the pits of hell. That's where it came from. What's the purpose to destroy you and your walk with God? Destroy your testimony. My brother Chris standing up here, and I was so caught up in that. He's destroyed the enemy's hold on him. The enemy has no hold on him. He broke it. Because you know how many people look up to brother Chris? I said, don't make him your God. Don't make anybody your God. Come on. Make God your God. Okay, where am I at? Again, it's your choice. Again, it's your choice. God already made his, and he chose to send his son, Jesus, and buy your freedom. And he paid the price in full to make you free. But as a free person, you have the ability to submit yourself to the devil if you wish. Come on. Though I certainly can't understand why you would want to do that. I'm sorry, but I know people in here tonight. Today, you have submitted yourself to the devil. You have not fought the good fight of faith. There was something in you that wanted to do that anyhow, so you just gave into it. You gave your whole self. Go ahead, devil, use me as good as you can use me. You need to get out of that. You need to tell him, well, I've made a different choice. And I'm choosing to make you leave. And I'm choosing to be a child of God the whole way. Crown of my head, the soles of my feet, from the inside out, not from the outside in. I want the inside clean. How many of you sometimes you say, God, take a hose and just flush me out. Work on the inside of me, God. Just flush all that junk out of me. How many of you do that? I do it every day. Because every day something seems to come into my life that's not of God. God, you didn't get it all. Get in there, flush me out some more. Because if I'm going to be used by you, Father, I have to be pure and holy. Everything about me, my thought, everything that people can't see, it has to be holy. Because eventually it's going to come out anyhow. Amen. If you've been set free from alcohol, gluttony, immorality, or drugs, there's nothing stopping you from going back to them because God will not stop you. If God has made you free from sexual perversions, you have a choice to stay free or go back to them. You can't blame the devil or God if you don't stay free. You can only blame yourself. Well, you don't understand. Yes, I do. I don't care how strong the pull is. You don't have to go back to it. I talk to myself all the time like that, don't you? You don't have to give in to this thing that's trying to oppress you. I talk to myself. I tell myself, you're better than that. You're a child of God. You don't have to give in to what the enemy's trying to do to you. I don't care how many rights you think you have. I don't care how much you believe that people have done you wrong. You don't have a right to do that. Why would you destroy yourself because of somebody else? That's dumb. Amen. At least I'm honest about it. You know, when being upset and not loving. And I know people in my house, they wouldn't say they didn't love for anything in the world. But all their actions show it. And the enemy can keep them bound in that area because, after all, they're so loving whenever they're out in public, but when they're in the house, or their true self. You all know me. I am what I am. And when I'm upset, when I'm having a time, I tell you. Because I know that you love me and you'll pray. And I'm believing that you would have the same confidence in us, that anybody in here, that we love you enough to pray for you. Amen. We are the products of our choices. I've personally seen people from whom the Lord has healed of cancer with every sign and symptom gone, and they ran back to the doctor, and the doctor prescribed a course of chemo or radiation to make sure they got it all, and that person ended up dying from the effects of the treatment. If God healed you, why you had to run back and get a treatment to make sure it's gone? He either healed you or he didn't. I've had cancer a couple times. I've had cancer surgery, and about each time they said I was going to die of it. And what it keeps attacking my body? Cancer. I keep saying, nope, not going to receive it. I was healed. The last time I was healed by prayer, through prayer, and I'm not going to receive it. I don't have to receive cancer into my body. And when it comes, I start watching what I'm eating and eat more healthy foods. It goes away. I don't have to receive those things. Well, now you're old, you know, and your body's riddled with arthritis. No, my body is not riddled with arthritis. I had neck surgery, I don't know how many years ago, because a machine at work fell on my head and messed up my whatever back here. And I went to the doctor, same doctor, about 6 years later, maybe seven. And he said, I forgot why I went. Something else happened to me. And he said, well, I know you're all riddled with arthritis. I said, no, I'm not. So he took the x-ray. And he said, you don't have no arthritis. I said, I know I don't. I'm not going to receive that. You know, when your body starts acting like it wants to get arthritis, arthritis cannot live in my body. Just, you know, you are what you say you are. Come on. If you receive it, you're going to get it. The enemy's going to bring, how many times when you've done deliverance, the enemy says, we're in here to afflict her with sickness. So in other words, there's a spirit inside of you causing you to have arthritis, cancer, whatever. And if you allow that spirit to act, to go ahead and work, it's going to work. And it's there to kill you. Isn't that what it tells you guys? It's there to kill the people? I keep reading where hospitals are going to be obsolete pretty soon. They should be obsolete today, right? There's enough of us Christians in this world to believe for total and complete healing that God can empty out the hospitals. Come on. All right, so they were made free and gave up because they were first of all made free, these cancer people, and gave it up because someone pressured them to go against the Lord. Did God take their healing away? No, they chose to forsake it. We can choose to forsake the freedom God gives us and suffer for it. But there's a better way. We can continue in the Word of God minute by minute, hour by hour. Now, we all know that Kenneth Copeland had a sickness. He did something with his leg, I think it was. And he kept believing God and believing. He went to the doctor. They go through physicals and everything. And he just kept believing God and believing God and believing God. And he kept going to his wife's healing seminar she's had. And all of a sudden, one day he was sitting in her healing seminar, and he was healed. But it took him over two years to get the healing. But he kept confessing, I'm healed, even though he couldn't even walk sometimes. I'm healed. And you have to do that. Remember the last time God healed me of cancer? And you know, they said I was only had a couple weeks to live. And I went to prayer meeting, and they laid hands on me, and I was healed. And the next morning, I went to bed so happy. Next morning, I got up. I couldn't walk because it was in my intestines, and I fell on the floor. And I said, devil, I was healed last night at 8 o'clock in that prayer meeting. I'm still healed today. And I crawled to the bathroom, I kept saying that. By the time I got to the bathroom, I was healed again, and I have been healed ever since. Now, see, I could have received that back on my body. I could have said, no, it didn't work. It did work. But the devil's going to try to make you believe it doesn't work. Quit believing the report of the enemy. Sometimes we look at the big picture and say, I don't know if I can be a disciple of Christ Jesus long term. One time I said, God, why didn't you tell me when he asked me to take an assignment? I said, God, why didn't you tell me what I was going to have to go through? He said, if I would have told you what you were going to have to go through, you wouldn't have taken this assignment. So maybe some of you don't need to know all the stuff I tell you because you won't follow God. Amen. But you can make it long term. You can. You do it just like you eat a big steak, one bite at a time, second by second. Walking with God, I'm just what I was talking about. By continuing in the Word of God, you shall be His disciple indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth of the Son of God shall not only make you free, if you let Him, He shall keep you free. So, I'm saying, choose wisely. Now, each one of you are here. You're not here because you said, I'm going to go to Pastor Barbara's church today. No. God put that idea in your little head. God wanted each one of you here to hear this message. Because you're going to find out in the days ahead that this message is going to be life to you. Choices. It's all about choices. You're going to find out that the enemy's going to come and try to get you to do things, and you're going to have to make the right choice. You're going to find out God's going to come and ask you to do something. You're saying, no, you're going to have to make the right choice. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed if you follow God. If you stay in His will. Staying in His will is so very, very important. How many of you know, can honestly say this morning that the enemy works every day trying to get you out of the will of the Father? He uses any kind of a thing, object, to get you out of the will of the Father. You can have it all set in your mind. I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be rejoicing today. I'm going to be full of life. And let somebody step out of the bed. Let one of my babies will step out of bed. And he can, he gets out a hurricane. And you say, no, don't do this. No, don't do that. Before you even get to the bed to the bathroom, you've told him 50 times, no, don't do this. And he's like a little buzz, you know, he's going to get into everything. There goes your peace. There goes your joy. There goes everything you said you was going to have before you got out of the bed. Amen. Because then you have one other one, you know, and it gets to be a mess. Then my husband said, "Can't you be still for a second?" And he's jumping up and down, clapping his hands, saying, "Jesus," you know. So what you're going to have to do is say, "Devil, take a few seconds." Say, "Devil, no, you're not using this to disrupt my emotions today. I'm going to stay in perfect peace." And you have to work really hard at that if you have a 2-year-old who's a live wire. Because before you even get all that said, he's already in 20 other things, you know. Yesterday morning he got up and he was on a roll, boy. And I have a lot of antique stuff in my house, and I brought an antique chess game from over in Germany. And he came running in the room, "Look what I got." They're alabaster. He had 4 of these chess pieces. One under his armpit and the other 3 in his hands. I'm saying, no, I say, "Get into mama and please don't drop them." And he looks at me and cackles and runs like crazy. And see, when he gets to doing that, then he throws. So I said, "I'm not chasing you, honey." And so I didn't even go out the door. Then he come back and went. So I said, "Put him back." So he finally put it back. So I thought, I'm not going to go down this road right now with him. So I could have really got upset. And I said, "Just alabaster pieces. I don't care if they are 50 years old from overseas. You know, it's not worth my salvation." Right? Then his daddy got up and said, "He's breaking all your stuff." I said, "It's not worth my salvation." So we have to see how to make a choice, right? I'm going to pack them up and put them away. That was my choice. But we have to make choices. We have to either let these things take away our salvation, or we can go the other way and say, "God, you're in control." So is God in control of your life? Are you making all the right choices in your life? Don't lie now. Because every now and then we make the wrong one, and we have to repent real quick and get back on the right road, right? Because none of us are perfect. And sometimes, you know, even though we work really hard at saying, "Devil, you're not stealing my joy," he steals your joy. He can do it in so many different ways. And he sneaks in there when you least, "Oh, I don't have a joy. I have to get work on getting my joy back again." Well, God's telling me this morning that he wants to give you a peace that passes all understanding today. And that peace that passes all understanding will keep you in perfect calm. That no matter what kind of a storm comes your way, you'll be in perfect peace. You'll be perfectly calm. And the enemy, no matter what he does, he will not in any way, shape, or form be able to take you out of the Father's hands. That's what that person told me whenever they called me yesterday. He said, "You prayed for that kind of peace over my life. And I didn't think it was going to work because I was such a mess. But from that second on, I've been in perfect peace." And this is what God wants to do to each one of us here this morning. He wants to give us that perfect peace where the enemy will in no way, shape, or form be able to ever get us off track again.